This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So Moi MP and former Youth and Sports Minister Syed Saddiq has claimed trial at the Sessions Court for two counts of corruption relating to criminal breach of trust. However, he's claiming that this is politically motivated and curiously timed to the upcoming special seating of Parliament.
So if we look at the criminal breach of trust, right, the charges themselves, they involve the misappropriation of 1.12 million ringgit worth of funds belonging, of course, to his former party, Bersatu Malaysia. And he pleaded not guilty today at the Kuala Lumpur Sessions Court. The first charge reportedly involves the misappropriation of 1 million. So again, it's 1.12 and there are two separate charges. So the 1 million, at the time, he was the youth leader of the party and he was entrusted with funds belonging to the youth wing, Amara Malaysia. And he was said to have made a withdrawal of 1 million ringgit without approval from Bersatu's top leadership. And he was charged under Section 405 of the Penal Code and punishable Section 406 of that same code. The second charge accused him of dishonestly misappropriating 120,000 ringgit worth of funds. And this was supposed to be for the 14th general election. This charge is under Section 403 of the Penal Code. The first charge actually comes with a punishment of 10 years in prison, whipping and a fine. The second, imprisonment between 6 months and 5 years, whipping and a fine upon conviction, all of which to say serious. These are serious charges.
Yes. And just to run through what the deputy public prosecutor proposed as part of these charges, that's Datuk Farid Gohim Abdullah of the MACC. So they essentially requested for a 500,000 ringgit bail for the first charge, a 300,000 ringgit bail for the second one. He did say that the court has to consider Syed Saddiq's position as a bail factor. And quite significantly, they also wanted a gag order to prevent Syed Saddiq from issuing public statements that could be prejudicial to court proceedings. Of course, following the appearance at court, Judge Azura has fixed the bail for 300,000 for the first charge, 30,000 for the second charge. They've ordered Syed Saddiq to surrender his passport to the court. He's required to report to the MACC office monthly. However, the gag order wasn't issued.
And we bring up the gag order and also, I think, just all the facts of the situation to also mention that Syed Saddiq took to his social media, right, to make a statement tying these charges essentially to the timing of Parliament, to the timing of the special seating of Parliament, and to say, actually, I was going to say imply, but actually he said it pretty outright, that this was politically motivated because he did not offer support to the government, essentially, and that as a result of that, as a response to that, this is what came his way. So that was what went out and at least as far as I could tell, spread quite far and wide, and I think speaks to perhaps his reach on social media and also why that gag order, among other reasons, may have been requested.
Also worth pointing out that he did say in that video that he put out that this wasn't the first time that he has been coerced or sort of threatened, that he said threatened, with these sorts of actions if he didn't declare his support for Perikatan Nasional. So all of which to say, I think a few things to point out. Exactly as you said, now this is almost a new way of communicating with the public, right? Something people like Syed Saddiq have been very involved in, speaking directly, issuing statements, and this is coming on the wake of Parliament sitting and a time when Perikatan Nasional has been struggling with garnering the kind of support that they might need. So it's an interesting time. It's a weird time for this to happen. What we'd like to look at is what this might mean and what this might mean for us as well as that Parliament sitting. So we'd like to hear from you. What do you think of this case? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the Asia Research Institute at University of Nottingham, Malaysia. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments, BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we are talking about Syed Saddiq, Moore MP and former Youth and Sports Minister, and the fact that he has been charged with criminal breach of trust. He's saying that it's a politically motivated move. So we're trying to make sense of that and what that might mean. We'd like to hear from you. What do you think of this case? You can call us 77-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the Asia Research Institute at University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Bridget, good to have you with us.
Good evening and happy Sarawak Day to my Sarawakian friends.
Oh, absolutely. Happy Sarawak Day as well. To start off, let's get into the political ramifications of all of this, right? What does it say that Syed Saddiq is getting charged, given that he and many other opposition members have pointed out that it's coming just a few days before Parliament reconvenes?
Essentially, I would say that there are four things going on. But I think it's important before I get into those just to step back. I mean, we're in a political crisis in Malaysia, and there's been no learning from history in that when you attack a politician during a crisis, there are implications that come from that. And so, first of all, we can see that this is an attempt to weaken the image of Saddiq. It's a typical old playbook. I think this will be effective among the core people who are unfamiliar with him and kind of feed in for some of the people in terms of the cynicism. But I think more importantly are what is it going to mean in the urban areas among the political chattering classes who help to shape the kind of the political narratives. And I think that this is the second issue, is that this really reflects insecurity on the part of the government. It's seen as a political persecution, and it also reaffirms what has been discussed, that there's been the use of political pressure to move people into the political, to choose sides. And of course, this has been out there and discussed openly, but this in some ways illustrates this in a much more blatant manner than other examples. And I think that the third factor is that this could lead to a rally around the opposition. As you understand, Pakatan Harapan and different opposition forces have been very fragmented. But now what they have is a situation and an issue for them to unify, to be more unified around. And it's not a coincidence that on social media, we saw different spectrums of the political opposition speak out on this set of issues. And finally, and I think this is perhaps the most long-term, you know, Syed Saddiq is a product of his generation, and this the COVID-19 and the circumstances politically have really affected the young people in Malaysia. And they are, over 40% of the electorate. If you included the Undi 18, which hopefully this will happen, we'll see that that's almost 50% of the electorate. And so what we see as a situation is that you're going after a young, dynamic politician, trying to displace him. And, of course, this is, in a sense, for many people, seen as a continued attack on young people and younger leaders. And this, in a sense, I think these factors will backfire. And overall, I think this is something that is not in PN's favor.
And we alluded to this earlier, but Syed Saddiq, perhaps more than other MPs, and as you say, because he's a product of his generation, has built a strong foundation on social media and has, in fact, spoken up about this case on his platforms and quite openly. What do you make of this?
Well, I think that, this is about the medium that is being used for the young people that are seen to be part of his political constituency. It's the whole nature of politics has been shifting radically in Malaysia as social media and WhatsApp and other elections have shaped elections. But what is interesting about this is the Syed Saddiq is controlling the narrative. The government is not controlling the narrative. And people who are locked up, most across the country who are still locked up in another lockdown, turn to those particular mechanisms of social media for their connections. So it's not only the fact that there's his constituency is affected, but more people are using social media as a mechanism, as a way of staying connected. And so these same things transfer all over the country. So in a sense, the government made Syed Saddiq a national figure even more than he was before, because of the way that the medium operates and will continue to affect people's lives.
You alluded to this earlier, but how will all of this reflect on the Perikatan National Government?
Well, I think there are some serious issues that have to do with, first of all, the cases involved, obviously we'll see more details evolve on how that moves forward. As all cases, they will probably put down the road as it's used as a pressure tool. But I see, that what this does is that it affects the credibility of any corruption cases, which are already being challenged. And that it basically politicizes the judiciary and the use of corruption for political purposes, which in itself really, I think, has been a long pattern in Malaysian history. But at the same juncture, is also a worrying one in this particular window. I think the other thing that is important for the PN is that it's now opened up itself another battle. It has a battle inside because there are different factions that are fighting it themselves. You have the battle with UMNO. You have the battle with Pakatan Harapan. You have the battle with Mahathir, and somewhat you had a battle of Muda. But now it puts that battle of Muda in a much even more prominent position. And there are a lot of battles going on, and that in itself makes it more challenging for the government, in that area. And more fundamentally, it brings attention to the insecurity of the government. And this is not something that is just within Malaysia. This is an international story that people will be paying attention, because when people are seen to be going after opposition figures, then Malaysia gets into the news for the wrong reason.
How have we seen the support base for Syed Saddiq and Muda respond to this, and how do you see that going forward?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that Muda's base is quite small, right? It's been still predominantly a personality movement around Syed Saddiq, and in itself, this is a particular challenge, right? That we have that they don't really have clear issues. They focused on kind of problem solutions, getting laptops, reaching out and providing assistance. They laid out a small platform, but it's really not well known. And so I think that this is going to be a transition point for Muda to see whether or not they're going to be able to have a clear program to identify themselves. But at this particular juncture, we can see that their political base is around the areas where they have their predominant personalities, such as Muar. We see in the urban areas, and we do not see a strong political base in the Malay heartland or in Borneo, for example, which are very important areas politically. But I think, as I said earlier, when you charge the leader of the movement, then people pay attention to that movement, and that may change. But at this particular juncture, we see a situation where their base still remains quite narrow.
So we've also seen that Syed Saddiq has alleged on social media that this is a play from the Ikatan Nasional to get him to offer them support, particularly with Parliament round the corner. Could you talk to us about how PN would actually have benefited from this support?
Well, every numbers count if there's a vote. And, we are really in a situation with, based on what has been said publicly, that Mudiasin's government is a minority government. So it needs a few numbers to move. How many is still not clear, because some people have not declared their loyalties, or some people other may be negotiating their loyalties. And some people, in the case of Syed Saddiq, has said his loyalties are not up for negotiation. And so in that situation, I think that every single individual is important. Now, it's not so clear that the next parliamentary sitting will allow for a vote. But I do think that, that one cannot underestimate the power of that arena as attention becomes focused on it, four sets of discussions and issues that are laid out in the public, and address some of the underlying concerns that people have about what's happening in terms of COVID-19 management. But my sense is that that there are two things that were a bit troubling about the case that was involved here. Number one, of course, is the timing. I mean, if this was an issue that happened a few years ago, then obviously the case should have moved forward much earlier. And the second is that it seems that the court documents suggested that the charges were originally filed in January and we're now in July. And so, you know, this raises questions that really only feeds into the assessment that this is being used as a form of political pressure, as a political tool, as opposed to the substance of the cases and others. But obviously those things will be discussed in the court. But the fact is that it does create a spectra of serious questions about how this case was put together and how it is being applied.
So expanding the conversation to youth-based parties in general and initiatives that are youth-led, are we seeing a greater support for them, particularly with the dissatisfaction that people are feeling towards the government's pandemic response?
So more generally, I think that there's a large groundswell of support for a generation change among leadership in the country, that they're tired of old men. And I use those words intentionally. And that means, age of what people being old can be somebody like myself over 50, right? But we're talking about in terms of the political spectrum of the key areas of people in their 70s and others. I think people want a different generation of change, more inclusion of alternative voices to reflect the country, which is that Malaysia is still a predominantly young nation and its voter and electorates are a young electorate. But the movement itself has actually done three very important things. First of all, I think that we can see that the young are setting a lot of the political narratives. If we look at issues like Undi 18 or even some of the issues of protests, these are being set by young people, not by older elites or even people in political parties, but younger activists and some young politicians as well. And so this is important. Number two is that the young people are actually going to the streets. They're the ones that are getting arrested, and not in large numbers, but in enough numbers that there has been a momentum. You know, so in previous eras, we talked about a Reformasi movement or a Bursay movement, but now the activism is being led by young activists who are mobilizing. And I think this is important because this is setting the way the politics is changing and transforming. And finally, I think what is equally important is that we're seeing new ideas come in and new conceptualizations of how they think about politics. So the focus is on issues such as inequality, issues of unfairness. There's been some repetition of issues of corruption, but there is a focus not less on racialized politics, but more on issue-based politics. And I think this is very transformative. The young people and issues of young people are also an integral part of that. And as I said earlier, they are also been on the front line of COVID-19 and the impact of COVID-19 in terms of unemployment, in terms of the issues of displacement in areas of education. So I think that we're going to see new issues come out as a result of how this youth movement is evolving and changing.
So we do have this message here from Dinakaran, who says, what's happening here proves that the old bulls are actually intimidated by Muda and shows that Syed Saddiq is a force to be reckoned with. Would you agree with that?
I think that I wouldn't use the word bull, but I think I would use the word bull in a different context. But I would say more generally, I think that her comment is accurate, that there is clearly a sense of a threat from Syed Saddiq. But I think more generally, this is also a weakness of PN in that they do not have among young leaders that are prominent to the same degree. They don't have the same connectivity to young people. Their policies have impacted young people negatively. They read the polling results just like everyone else. And so in this context, it's not just about an individual, but it's also about this lack of connection to young people. That they're afraid of. They cannot hold an election and win under these circumstances.
Bridget, we just have a couple of minutes left. What are some things that you would keep an eye on as Parliament reconvenes next week for the special sitting?
Well, I think the first immediate thing is to look at to see what happens as a result of Syed Saddiq's charges, how this impacts the opposition as a unit. I mean, in particular, I focus heavily on how this brings Warisan, and it may provide a connectivity point for the opposition in this area. The second thing is I'm looking at what are the issue areas and issues that are going to be discussed. In some ways, this actually draws attention away from policy discussions and the alternative issues that I think also need to happen. And so I'm looking to see how there is a balance between talking about how to address the short and medium and long-term troubles that the country is facing, as rather than just focusing on the individual. So I'm looking to see how the narrative is transformed in that particular area. So those first two things that are right away.
Bridget, thank you for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, Honorary Research Associate at the Asia Research Institute at University of Nottingham, Malaysia, speaking to us about Syed Saddiq and the criminal breach of trust charges that have been brought against him, which he says is a political ploy. Let us know, what do you think of this case? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.